All right. Hi, ladies. Welcome. I'm so glad all of you are here. I'm looking forward to see what God has for us tonight, teaching on this subject. My name is Jen Martin. Brady told me it would be the big button. There it is. So my name is Jen Martin. Most of you already know me because I work for the church, scheduling all of our child care volunteers for all three services. That's about 160 of you that I talk to week after week. And if you are one of those who are currently serving or have served for us before in child care, or you're one of our future volunteers, you don't even know it yet because I haven't talked to you and gotten you in the hall, I just want to say a heartfelt thank you to you because it is a lot of work, it's a lot of commitment, but truly, honestly, it's like the heartbeat of our church to be able to teach our kids and take care of them, and it is eternally rewarding, but it is not easy. And I did teach a lot for a lot of years myself, so we know what goes into that commitment, and we really want to thank you for doing that for our children and our parents. So I've been attending The Rock Church for 18 years this month. It'll be next week, 18 years, which is when I met my husband. I began coming to The Rock when I first met him, right there on the left, Jefferson, which some of you know from singing and other things. He was attending our downtown location at the time. We now have four kids and one son-in-law. Our son-in-law's birthday is today, actually, just turned 28. I hope you've been enjoying our study so far and the practical applications for the biblical womanhood. We learned about a heart under authority from Krista, a heart that loves God's word from Ashley, and we learned the importance of discipleship from our awesome panel. I was honored to be asked to give tonight's teaching on what the Bible has to say about purity, and thank you for Liv, wherever she went, for singing Acts 29. It's one of my absolute favorite songs of Kelsey's, and it talked about purity, so I'm sure that was no accident. This is a very broad subject, though, and it's used in a lot of areas of our lives. So we're just going to look at some of these areas tonight, but obviously it won't be exhaustive. This is just the tip of the iceberg. And for that reason, I created a handout for you, the blue paper, for you to take home, and it has lots of resources because I could not, Krista wouldn't let me, fit in all of the many, many, many Bible verses and chapters that were necessary. I also encourage you to do your own study on this topic because it's fruitful and it also is really fun to dig into this. I had so much fun doing this. I can't tell you. It was like really a really cool experience. For those of us who have been saved by the blood of Jesus on the cross, we no longer live for ourselves. We live to glorify God forever. So our main question tonight is, how can we glorify God with our thoughts and actions? As we mature in our faith, we should desire to make this our top priority. Here at The Rock Church, we believe the Spirit of God convicts us and changes our hearts while we older women have been given the task mandated in Titus 2, 3 through 5. So we older women are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. We are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. So here God calls us to be women of purity. So let's look at what that means. First, we'll define biblical purity. Then we're going to look at two sinful traps to avoid. I'll give you a great tool for practicing purity called joy. We'll discuss what goes into our minds through our eyes and ears, which then affects what comes out through our speech and our actions. And then I'll give you some concluding thoughts and questions to ponder. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for bringing us together this evening. I love these women, and I'm so thankful to be learning together. We thank you for your word, and that we live in a time period of history where we have it at our fingertips. Help us never to take that for granted. Soften our hearts tonight to hear from you about being women of purity. Amen. So I'll quickly share a little piece of my history. I was born in Woodstock, New York. Yes, that Woodstock. In the 70s, to a single unwed mother who already had two boys from a recent divorce. Both of my parents were real bona fide hippies. My father had dreadlocks down past his knees and everything, that never intended to stay together. In fact, my father, who I never knew, was kind of a famous hippie in that town. If you were to go there tonight, you could ask questions and they would know who he is. There's even a book about his crazy life that was written, speaking of his abandonment of all responsibility to his four children with four different women, of which I am the youngest, to chase a god of hedonism. If you're not familiar with that word, hedonists, it's the pursuit of pleasure, especially the pleasure of one's own senses. He died in the 80s when I was 10. I grew up with just my mom, mostly outside of Philadelphia, and then in the countryside near Lancaster, Pennsylvania. They're famous for the Amish community there. I moved to Rochester, New York from the ages of 19 to 22 by myself to chase a boy. Thank the Lord he did not reciprocate my crush, and it was there that the Lord invaded my life by surrounding me with Christians at work who all went to the same church. At that time, I was living out of my car and sleeping on the couches of coworkers. I was invited to attend their church several times, and finally, I gave in. As soon as I heard about my sin, I was strongly convicted, having to excuse myself to the bathroom to go cry, because I didn't want to do it in front of all these people. I believe that everyone in that room knew that the pastor was obviously only speaking to me, nobody else, and that they all knew it. I remember feeling like he could see right through me. I was 19 years old, and I was not looking for God. I had no interest in anything other than my own selfish desires. Sound familiar? Same as my father. But unlike him, by the grace of God, the Lord rescued me from that pursuit for his own purpose to further his kingdom. And I believe I'm living out that purpose by sharing with you tonight. I moved to Utah 25 years ago, following the Lord's leading to remove myself from that sinful life I had created in New York, despite being a new believer. I came here to live closer to my two older brothers who grew up in Park City. My mom joined us 6 months later, and we've been here ever since. And by the way, much of my teaching tonight was taken from the Bible and two great books that are listed on the handout. So let's begin by defining biblical purity. It is the inner attitude of the heart, motivated by a love for God that seeks his glory, and it often reveals itself in our words, thoughts, and actions. This is the opposite of hedonism, living for God instead of our own selfish desires. Here are some examples of purity from the Old Testament. Genesis 1 and 2, when God created the heavens and earth and said it was good. This means it was pure, without corruption, without pollution, without sin. Again, in God's instructions in Exodus 25:31, in building the Ark of the Covenant, when he asked for the lampstand to be made of pure gold, it's the same standard among jewelers today, meaning a piece of gold that isn't mixed or polluted with other materials or other metals. When the Lord set requirements in Leviticus chapter 22 as to which animals were acceptable offerings for the sins of the people, he uses the words again, without blemish, which mean without stain or taint, free from pollution. In the New Testament, pure is translated from the Greek word hagnos. It's translated chaste, free from sin, innocent, and pure about five times. To believers in Christ, purity means being innocent and guiltless in our actions and thoughts. And these should not sound like burdens. They should sound like the freedom to enjoy God's blessings. Think about this. When you know you are innocent and guiltless, you can walk through life under God's watchful eye with confidence. When on this quest for purity, there are two extremes that can be sinful and must be avoided. One is sinful legalism, which is adding rules and burdens, think about heavy weights, not found in Scripture, to achieve salvation or spiritual growth. The other is sinful liberty, which is abusing our freedom in Christ by ignoring the guidance of the Spirit, bringing ourselves and others to ruin. As God's word reminds us, it's not about rules, it's about our hearts, our intentions. But we also never want to take sin lightly because our God certainly does not. Some verses on sinful legalism. 1 Corinthians 4:6, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. Matthew 23:27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. A verse on sinful liberty, 1 John 3:9, no one born of God makes a habit of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep sinning, because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. So our goal in being pure, first and foremost, is to always look to God and for his divine enablement through the Spirit, if the Spirit lives in you. Second, we seek to answer the calling of purity that God has on our lives. We are to seek it out, act on it, and never ignore it, or else we weaken it. Before salvation in Jesus, we can only choose to sin. We are dead in our transgressions. But Jesus gave us the freedom to choose not to sin. We are now free from sin and death, free from guilt and shame. In all areas of life, we should use our new freedom to bring joy. So here's our acronym, a tool for practicing purity. Bring honor to Jesus, benefit others, and have true joy for yourself. We are no longer slaves to sin. Joy helps us remember how to stay within God's circle of blessing. The longer I have been a Christian, the easier it has been to remember to ask myself the question, how can I glorify God in this situation? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I'm not going to tell you tonight what to do or what to say, what movies to watch, what music to listen to, or how to dress. The Holy Spirit will guide you if you ask him. Just be careful not to ever ignore it. If we make it a habit to ignore the Spirit, we just weaken it. To practice listening to the Lord's leading is like exercising a muscle. I often have to pray things like, Lord, what are you trying to teach me here? Or help rewire my brain after 20 years of not knowing you and being taught by the world. I have freedom in what I say and do, yes, but how does it affect others? We should have the same attitude of the Lord and the Apostle Paul by putting other people ahead of ourselves. Now we'll consider the different areas of our lives where we can choose joy, this type of joy, in a practical way. Let's go through those areas I mentioned in the outline. What goes in? Purity of the mind, our thought life. What we consume gets into our hearts and minds. Ephesians 2 says, we are hemmed in on every side. I need the Lord to cleanse my mind every day because the world bombards us everywhere we look. But we don't need just behavior modification. We need heart transformation. Romans 8:6 says, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Where does your mind go when you're in bed at night? Do you compare your loved ones to others? Are you having unhealthy, ungodly thoughts? What do we allow ourselves to contemplate? Are we thinking about the things above or mostly worldly things? Give your thoughts to the Lord. Lay them at his feet. If they aren't pure, ask him to take those thoughts away from you. Then replace them with truth. As a young Christian, before smartphones were ever existed or invented, I used to handwrite a list of truths about who God is and who I am in him, and I would tape it to my bathroom mirror so I would wake up and remind myself while preparing for my day. Again, rewiring the brain. Single women, are you fantasizing about a boy or a man that doesn't belong to you? Don't let those thoughts linger. Give them over to God. Take them captive. Married women, are you comparing your husband to other husbands? Don't allow Satan to get a foothold in your marriage. This is very dangerous. Moms, are you constantly comparing your children to other children or the father of your children to other fathers? It is so easy to compare our lives with others, especially in the social media world we live in. Instead, find someone in your midst, someone here tonight maybe, someone in this church that you want to learn from and approach them about being discipled. Take what works for you and your family and your season of life, because we're not all the same, and implement those things. Our thought life often stems from what we're filling our mind with. So let's discuss what comes into our eyes and ears. Purity of our eyes and what we watch. My husband and I were both saved as adults, so neither of us were raised with many guardrails on our TV or movie watching as children. That didn't go without consequences. Some of the movies I wish I had never seen as a kid and can't wash from my mind's eye are things like Jaws, Stand By Me, and many, many, many more. My eyes were not well protected. In fact, I remember going to the movie theater with my big brother when I was about 9 or 10 years old to see one of those movies that had nudity and crass jokes. And when a nude scene came up, I covered my eyes and I looked over at my teenage brother, so proud, and I said, "Don't worry, I'm covering my eyes." He looked at me and shrugged it off with a grin like, "I don't care, why are you telling me this?" I adore my brothers, but there was not a lot of thought to protect my eyes and ears. Everyone has to be honest with themselves. Is the Holy Spirit trying to tell me that what I'm watching is corrupting my mind? Is it stirring up lust, discontentment, impure thoughts? Some things we watch have serious consequences. We all know that pornography is obviously sinful and impure. But what about romantic movies with very intense sex scenes? Or even love stories that make us discontent with our own relationships? I had a friend years ago tell me she was watching the movie The Notebook, some of you might be familiar, every single day for weeks. This was during a really bad time in her marriage, and they eventually ended in divorce. She was trying to disconnect from her very difficult reality and allowed herself to engage in this fantasy world. This planted seeds of idealism in her mind. A less consequential but still good learning experience for myself was when I used to watch HGTV shows a lot. At one point, I noticed that it was stirring up discontentment with my home and envy for what other people owned. I was constantly looking for ways to change decorations or move furniture around, and I realized that it was stirring up discontentment by comparison. I wasn't bearing good fruit in my life. My mind was not fixed on the things above, but on the things on earth. So I stopped watching them. Purity of our eyes in what we read. I often talk with my female friends about books we're reading. Some prefer fantasy or fiction. Some enjoy nonfiction, historical, biblical wisdom, theology. I remember when the Twilight series was really popular. Anybody remember that 4 years ago? Always the skeptic about anything that is popular, I asked questions first and found out it was just some vampire-themed romance novel, and it was really not appealing to me, but it was appealing to so many women I knew at the time. One of my female friends has a fantastic marriage, and she read those books for fun. She loved them. It didn't affect her marriage at all. Another friend, however, was reading them to escape her difficult circumstances, and it also greatly affected her marriage by allowing impure thoughts to enter her mind. My sweet 10-year-old daughter is reading a book for school about Abigail Adams and yelled out mid-chapter in the middle of the living room, "Mom, thank you so much for making me read this book. I love it so much." Now, my son had read it 3 years prior when he was also in fifth grade, but he never had that response to this book. So later when I asked her why she had such a strong reaction, she explained, "Well, she doesn't exactly know what it is, but she just loves love stories like this, where Abigail and John are in love and write letters to each other." And I was like, oh, okay. Her heart was stirred at the love story. Why? Why are romance novels so appealing to so many of women? Because of our tendencies. Men are more drawn to by their eyes, and we're more drawn by our minds. We have tendencies to fantasize, to romance, and to live vicariously through other people's experiences. Not every woman is wired like this, of course, but most of us have a vulnerability here. We need to be honest about it and acknowledge it, put up a defense against it. Everyone has different thresholds of what they can and should handle. When it comes to romance books, movies, social media, or any content, ask yourself some questions. Is this good for my mind? Am I being innocent and guiltless in my thoughts? Or does this stir up lust or discontentment? Pray for the Lord to heal you and to lead you. Be honest with yourself. Ask the Spirit to help you with strength to resist going down bad paths. Then give it to the Lord, and he will change you. Purity of our ears and what we listen to. I grew up listening to all kinds of music, from Van Morrison to Van Halen, enjoying music from all genres and decades. But the older and busier I got, I noticed that my time in the car was really valuable, which is when I would listen to music most often. I ended up using that time to either talk to God or listen to music. And again, like my bathroom mirror where I put my list up, I realized that I needed to fill my mind with the things above. So I listened to almost exclusively Christian music, and still do. I didn't do it to impress anyone else. No one was with me in the car. Or to earn points with God. I did it because I needed the Lord to continue washing my mind clean from the worldly things I grew up with and plant heavenly things instead. My car became a little sanctuary. It was really helpful to give me peace and fix my thoughts on things above as I drove around the valley. Colossians chapter 3, which is so powerful and I highly recommend reading the entire thing, tells us to put off the old self and put on the new self as God's chosen ones. Then it says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. I just love that. All of these things that go into our eyes and ears do affect what comes out in our speech and actions. What comes out? Purity of speech. Growing up as an 80s kid, watching TV shows and movies had an effect on my mind and my mouth, although I didn't realize it at the time. I had a mouth on me by the end of high school, and it took me a while to break the habit of swearing. After only a few years of being a Christian, I met up with an old friend, and she mentioned that she noticed I wasn't swearing anymore. I shared the verse that directly correlates our hearts to what comes out of our mouths, Matthew 12:34. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And praise God, because he really had changed my heart, and my words were reflecting that. Is my heart with God or with the world? Why do I swear? Do I glorify God? I had to deny my desire to impress people around me. I needed to care more about what the Lord thought of my speech than other people. I think I have the hardest time watching my mouth when I'm angry or frustrated. I'm sure none of you can relate to that. My mouth should be the first thing I close, but that's not always the case, and it gets me into trouble. When I got married at age 30, people, 30, okay, I had a lot of habits. I had a lot of things to learn. One was taming my tongue, especially when we disagreed. I had to start by training myself to immediately close my mouth and not say everything I was thinking. Then I'd quietly go cook or clean alone while I could calmly think and discuss my thoughts with God, asking for his intervention to help me. In those early years, it was very difficult for me to know how to engage in those conversations without being disrespectful. To this day, some of my best conversations with the Lord are done during my chores. All right, what comes out? Purity of clothes. Oh, whoops. Okay. As we all know, fashions change regularly. In my ripe old age, I have lived through all phases of jeans. There's the high waist, the bell bottom, the skinny, and the low rise. I remember making fun of my mom's hippie bell bottoms one minute, yet finding myself buying them the next minute while reassuring myself, these are different though. 1 Timothy 2:9 says, women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. Now, Paul is not a fashion Scrooge, opposed to looking beautiful by any means. But church is not a red carpet event. If all eyes are on me, then I'm distracting everyone from God. So how do we glorify God in how we dress in our current culture? This is not a call to dress in an ugly way or be unfashionable, just to always be mindful of our acronym, JOY. Jesus first, others next, then you. I remember as a young, single 20-something, dressing to attract. Yet one day, sitting in the pew, I was convicted about something the pastor said while teaching on Romans 14:19. Let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding, edification. At that time in my life, I was part of a Sunday school class of married couples and other singles like myself, all in our 20s and 30s. We spent a lot of time together playing sports, eating out, game nights, holidays, you name it. His teaching convicted me about my motivation and how I was dressing. I started crying at the thought that any of my married girlfriends, my sisters in the Lord that I loved, might see me as an unwanted distraction to their husbands. It broke my heart to think that I could make my brother in Christ stumble in any way, and that really changed me. So I started being much more aware of how I dressed. We should want to put the needs of our brothers ahead of our own desires in how we dress. After all, they're our sons, they're our husbands, they're our brothers, and our fathers. We never want to be accused of leading others to stumble into sin, because that means we ourselves are sinning. We have a responsibility to our fellow believers. If I am confident that I'm dressing modestly, then my conscience is clear, and I'm not sinning. But if I have doubt, then I should respond with, I'm not wearing it. Because if I ignore or silence my conscience, which is telling me that something is immodest, then I am sinning. Now, my personal rule has become, if it would draw my own eyes, it certainly draws men's eyes. We don't want to be this distraction, so let's honor and love our fellow brothers in Christ. What comes out? Sexual purity. We're either living outside of God's circle of blessing or within his good boundaries. And his word is very clear about sexual immorality. Anything outside of a marriage union between one man and one woman is forbidden. Sinful, impure, corrupt. One is guilt-free and so much more enjoyable because we know it pleases God. The other is sold by the world and Satan as pleasurable, yet a trap that ensnares us in guilt and shame. My husband and I have a saying, marriage sex is the best sex. Because of our immoral histories, God has healed us through our marriage. Having a lifelong partner with growing mutual love and respect, knowing you are living out the Lord's design, is just inequivalent to anything else. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, "Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Did you know that you can pray for purity and be cleansed of any impure past sins this very minute? I remember as a young woman hearing that although I had sex outside of marriage, that as a new creation in Christ, I could essentially become pure again, like a virgin, because of what Christ did on the cross, taking away the punishment I deserve for my sins. My impurity could be made clean. He can do that for you. No matter what has come before this very moment, the Lord can forgive you and change you tonight. Do you know that's real? Do you know that you can be made pure by the blood of Jesus right now? In John chapter 8, Christ told the woman who had been caught in adultery and almost stoned, "Go and sin no more. From this day forward, the Lord can change you, as he did with me so many years ago." Don't ignore the Spirit of God if he's speaking to you right now. As we conclude for the night, I just want to encourage you to seek out the Lord's purity. I hope you feel empowered now that with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can listen carefully to his leading in all these areas. And now we have an easy-to-remember tool, joy. Jesus, others, you. Practice listening to the Spirit and then act on this leading, because that will give you a peaceful, pure, guilt-free relationship with the Lord and others. And please know that if you ever need someone to talk to about these things, I'm available, as well as so many other women here. Let us pray for purity as a means to glorify God. Father God, we love you and praise you for the growth and relationships you've made here in this church body. Help us tonight to nurture greater purity in our lives. Help us wake up each day remembering to glorify you by setting our minds on things above, not on things of this earth. Amen.